Okay, hello. So, can you start by introducing yourself and maybe talking about the first game you remember, or the first game that comes to mind?
Yeah. Hello. My name is Fernando Forero. I'm a Colombian graphic designer, working as a senior user interface artist for the Diablo 4 at Blizzard. My memories of video games, probably when I was very, very young, very, very small. I do remember arcade games. When I get in contact with them, I still remember this kind of simple graphics and shapes and colors and the screen and how attractive at the very beginning was for me. But aside from that, I do remember one of the first games that I played that gave a big impact in me was Tomb Raider, because of the quality of the graphics and the exploration, the movement, the art itself. It really catch me a lot. Another of those first video games in PC was Diablo. Diablo was a beautiful experience for me.
Yeah, everybody. I remember it too. Like, and especially like Tomb Raider, what I really liked about it was the pacing. You know, it was very slow and you walk around in these caves and in the first level, I think there's not even much enemies, just some animals, like a tiger or something.
Weird
enemies. You just walk around and feel the environment. It was very cool. And the same, like Diablo was also groundbreaking, the first one. I still very clearly remember the first time I reached the butcher in level one, you know, in the first bit.
I do. I guess that now that I connect in good way, ideas and thoughts, I'm kind of feeling attached to games that are kind of exploration and have some kind of story behind. You know, story driving video games are kind of the ones that I feel more attracted to.
Cool. And yeah, definitely me too, because I think it might have something to do with our age as well. I think it's like when you're our age and I think people that have been around in the 80s and stuff, they're more into narrative games now. It's at least that's a common trend that I saw.
Yeah.
So how was it growing up in Colombia in general in that time?
I'm the last one of a family of five brothers and a sister. And my family were, my dad and my mom, they struggled to bring a quality life for us. And we had a simple life, but kind of, we don't have too much access to technology or video games or things like that. But we have maybe because of that, we have plenty of imagination. We spend a lot of time playing outside. We in the place where we live in, we're this feeling of community. So you basically you feel that your friends are the people, your brothers was as well the people that live around you, and we play very late night alone, like only children in the street and so on. And it was a kind of nice life. But when you started to grow up, you start to face the reality that there are different kind of condition of life, that you discover that your close friends have more possibilities to get access to things or better quality life. And you start to feel like, oh man, there is this feeling that my family cannot give me some specific things. So you need to, I guess that I started to grow up with this feeling of things will not come easy. I need to work for whatever I need to. And from early on, I had the feeling that I need to take responsibility, some kind of responsibility for my life. But on the other hand, I always felt that I'm not part of anything. I didn't felt part of a community or the mental culture or religions or ideas or kind of the sameness of the culture. I felt all the time hungry. I felt I need to explore things. I need to know things. I need to go somewhere. I feel all the time this feeling of discomfort, like I cannot. The reality that was in my life or around me was not enough. And I thought that probably there is something else.
Well, that's good. I think that's good as a creative. Like it if you have that kind of attitude, it that feeds you, right? Like it feeds you with experiences and stuff that you can later, I guess, reflect in your art. But also, yeah. The thing you touched on earlier, which is having a lot of time as a child, I think definitely there's a correlation between that and creativity, because nowadays you see a lot of kids that consume all the time. You know, all the time they're busy consuming either games or websites or TV series and stuff. And I think that moments of boredom, for a child at least, are actually what sparks creativity and sparks kind of that first creative drive. And
yeah.
And definitely that's something that I think nowadays kids are missing a bit. And
I have the same feeling, and depending where which cultures you touch, because in Latin America we have different kind of attitude toward children or towards being young. And if you move to Europe, you start to discover different things, or if you go to the States, it's different thing. But in general, the modern times is, we wanted to be distracted all the time. You don't have this. We don't have these moments of being with ourselves, having, imagination or thinking, creating our own ambitions or our own needs or understanding ourselves. We just wanted to be distracted. We wanted to be happy. We wanted to have an excitement, to have a wonderful life, We are lacking this kind of self, being with ourselves.
Yeah, definitely. And in that time, like when you grew up, at what point did you start working in design, or what kind of work did you start doing?
Once I finished the studies in the school, I grew up in a small town, and then I moved to the capital city in Colombia, Bogota, and there I started.
Sorry, which year was that? Which year did you move to Bogota?
I don't remember. I really don't remember. I probably fuck with dates.
Okay.
I don't remember even the birthdays of my brothers or mom.
No, it's fine. Okay, so you reached Bogota.
I remember things. I remember faces and things like that. Anyway. So I moved to Bogota, and I was like 18, 19 years old, and I start looking for opportunities, to look for a job. But before that, I by my own in my own time, I started to making drawings. Mm-hmm. I like typography and fonts, so I will research things and read a little bit about graphic design. And of course,
but
at that
but
time,
you had no formal training or anything by then.
No, at that time, no. But I had the feeling that I was related, or my feelings are that I was close to art, so I wanted to be a painter or something that is related with art creation. At that time, when I was young, I didn't know that graphic design exists. As a career, I never knew about that, because in my environment no one talks about that. I didn't knew any graphic designer or that. I just feel attraction for books, and for logos and magazines and TV presentations and things like that, but not officially knowing that what graphic design was.
And how did you get your first gigs then, or your first jobs doing that?
A friend of mine in Colombia, he was looking for an illustrator for one magazine, something like that. It was like a magazine or a small project, and he needed an illustrator. So I did some illustrations for him. And it was my first job, my first good job pay. And the thing is that what I offered to him was not only the illustration, but I was offered to him like how he can use the illustration in one page. I designed,
like
I was
layout.
The layout, but it was like a photocopies and it was not even digital. It was all
cool.
Traditional. So it was more my intuition and my feelings about image in itself that started everything. And then from that, he recommended me to one small agency, and I start doing small illustrations and a little bit on the side graphic design. And then I, at home, my dad helped us with one computer.
Okay.
And then I started learning Corel Draw and Photoshop. And with that, I started to design, to take everything that I was doing traditional to the digital side.
Oh, cool. That's so cool. I also remember like the first versions of Photoshop that I had installed. Like, I think it was like 4.0 or 3.0 was the first one I used. And just doing silly things, you know, like silly editing of images. But yeah, personally, I never got into art until way later. But it's very cool to hear about kind of how you started in it. And for that agency, you did stuff like branding, right? And print design and things like that.
Yeah,
and
on the side.
That was kind of your first real professional experience, kind of.
Yeah. With these guys, with these small agencies, I start doing things. But at the same time, I was looking for more opportunities because it was like a kind of, because I didn't have a contract. It was more like a freelancer.
Mm-hmm.
So, and when I was sending CVs or whatever to look for a job, many people, you know, people was. They closed the door because, you know, this guy is young. He has no experience. He has no studies at the university. So he has nothing. So what I did is create a fake project.
Cool.
I did graphic design, logos for I create my own companies, make fake logos and a fake background, and just to show that I can do things. And in that way, I built a portfolio that, at the end, helped me out to find another job.
And is that so? Is that also the reason why you? Because you got a bachelor degree in design. Was that also a step you did then, or?
So I worked for probably something around 6 years in advertising and logo design and corporate and things like that, and then I was looking all the time. Was looking for something better. More a better quality pay, or more fun projects, or gaining more experience. But it was harder in my country to achieve those things because I didn't have a degree, and people don't believe me. You know, after 6 years working harder every day doing things, people are still not believing. So I was forced to this guy need to have a document, and the only way to get the title in graphic design was working over day and studying by night. So
yeah, that must have been really hard. And it's definitely a time back then was a time when people really looked at your degree. You know, nowadays it's not really a thing anymore. But
yeah,
I remember
time,
for me it was the same. Like when I remember even when I applied for my first job after studying, they the guy literally just took my degree, looked at it, and put it on the table. He didn't even look at my grades or everything or anything. And it was like, shit, so I did all this work, and this guy just looks at it and puts it away, and he's like, what can you do, you know? And that's kind of how I started.
Yeah. And for me, it was like, you know, I studied by night, but at the university, I was better than my teachers, for example, in many cases. The nice things is that some of them, you know, told me like, you know, it's nice that you are here, because we as a teachers, we are forced to improve our knowledge.
Wow. That's very things. Cool.
So it was really cool. And the other thing is that I am an easygoing person, and I don't think that I am the best. Or I deserve things, or, you know, I knew early on in my life that I need to fight for things. Mm. So I didn't, on the other hand, I'm a very dark person. I was emotionally always in depression and always in the dark side of life. And so I have some kind of achievements, and I was having some exhibitions, and my work appeared in magazines in Colombia in some contests or things like that. But I never invited, for example, I never invite my family to. You know, I have this exhibition, and I was just quiet. I never told anyone things.
Mm. But and I was just enjoying. That's also good. Like, you know, I feel that ego, like, if you bring ego into your work, it makes it harder to work together with people. So, I mean, I think a little bit of it is important, but. The people that have a lot of ego in their work and stuff, I've always find it very difficult to work with them in a team.
Yeah, because it's difficult it's an emotional thing. It's an emotional, and you usually you are not going against you. You know, it's hard to beat this ego and move on, or to be humble. It's really difficult. But all the time I'm thinking that this is part of. Is characteristics of our personality. Mm. So I struggled a lot when I was young to face the reality that I am a sad person. I am prone to sadness and to think. I'm really tainted with my sadness in my early age, because it gave me access to interesting books, interesting philosophers, interesting music, and if open me to a different kind of world than my colleagues, you know, my friends in Colombia. They were more kind of Latin person, that, you know, the music and happiness and
it's funny that you, now that you say that, it makes me think, like, when you do work in a team or at a company or somewhere, having different personalities is maybe just as important, because as having different kind of styles or stylistic preferences. But because to your point, like, the way you are, your personality kind of indirectly exposes you to different things that you see as other people. So it's almost having a diverse team in different kind of how they are, personalities, is also important. That's funny. I never thought of it.
Yeah, it's an enrichment, you know?
True.
When you have in your team different people that think in different way, everyone will give you feedback or give you
inspiration.
Point of view in different ways. So you will enrich everything that you are doing. My best friends are people that are not doing graphic design, not doing, not thinking like, not wearing like me, not listening the same music, are people that are different. And it works better for me, because they gave me more, you know, instead of being just a mirror of myself. I enjoy people that think like me, but the people that are deeply inside of my soul and my thoughts and my best friends, usually they are people that do things in different way and that are
And next, you worked at a company that did web design. So you, how was that then? That's kind of your first exposure to
So
software.
I worked with one agency for some years, doing plenty of different works for print. And because this company comes to an end, they recommend me, my work and my portfolio to another company that I previously did some works. And this company was dedicated to website. So they did plenty of different projects for different kind of companies with different background, from really mathematical thing and thinking, rational thinking, like stocks and things like that, to a website that make things for entertainment. So it puts me as well in different perspective of doing things. You have to think in pixels, in colors, in how to
Constraints of a computer.
all the different formats, different ways to work. And early on, website in my country was in early stage, and it's kind of a learning for everyone. So I have the chance to work with some websites, and having touching a little bit of UX.
Do you feel that you carried that forward also into your games a bit? So because that must have
Yeah.
been the first time you worked where with something that had a user experience. I guess later when you were making games, it's kind of that was the seed, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, you have the same thing sometimes in your website. You still have working with buttons that have stage. You're still having, dimensions for formats. Or you're still having some basics, so like the skeleton still being you work anyway. It comes from graphic design that you need to create your own layout and your own
Your
composition.
grids, yeah.
It goes, the grids is still going, in website is still going on video games.
Cool, very cool. And so how did you then make your move to Europe from Colombia? Like, how did that go?
So I met a beautiful Polish girl and photographer and painter. We met online all the time. We talk. We became first friends, and through interaction and so on, we became more close to each other. It's a long story, but at the end, we decided to get married. The first time that we see us each other in life was 3 months before we get married.
Oh,
But
wow.
before that, we have plenty of time talking every day,
So you knew each other already. It wasn't the time. Yeah, you met in person 3 months before, but you knew each
married.
other for a long time. Yeah,
No,
that's cool.
we talked together for years, probably 3 years, online and all the time getting in touch. Just like I was in Colombia and she in Poland, this different dif the difference of hours allow me to be online even in my work and talk to her. And she met, I have the camera sometimes on, so she met my friends, my boss, plenty of people in my company. Or when I on the over the weekends, she met my family. I met her family as well, but like a friend,
Ah,
it
cool.
grows, and then we get married in Colombia, and then we decide talking about what we wanted to do, and talking about the possibilities to have a better quality life for both of us. We choose to start in Europe, because the conditions of life in Europe are completely different than in Latin America, in Colombia. For me, it was harder to portray my wife living in Colombia. For me, it was kind of impossible. It was like she will not adapt. Colombia is so crazy and is moving all the time, and it's so noisy and it's so loud. You have traffic jams all the time in the capital city.
I can
complex.
totally relate because my girlfriend's British and I'm Egyptian, and I can't imagine taking her to Egypt. Like it would shock
Yeah. And
her.
some problems of insecurity, you know, it's a conflictive country. It's a tough country if you are a foreigner. Anyway, and if you are from Europe, she grew up in a small town where every kind of everything is kind of in order. Anyway, we choose to come to Poland, to move to Poland. And she came back first, and then I moved after 4 months while I finished my work contracts. I sell whatever I had, gathered it, you know, everything, my small packages of baggage and the safes and, you know, organizing everything in Colombia. And then I moved to Poland. So it was 12 years of working harder every day, doing stuff in Colombia and, you know, trying to survive with my sadness and my work and my life and my family and so on. And then I moved to Poland and it was like zero. It was
Start over.
everything that I did, everything, you know, in Poland, no one, it was starting from zero. It was, even if I don't have an ego or whatever, it was putting me on the ground again,
Yeah,
like restart
painful.
everything from zero. In a country that is not yours, with different culture, different language, different everything.
And
So
the
it was.
culture shock is a thing. Like I've experienced it for the first time. I live in Stockholm now, and when I moved here from Amsterdam, even though the culture is not that different, so it's not the same delta between Colombia and Poland, I still felt it after I think 6 months here. I had a moment where I was like, "What am I doing? What is this place? And what are these people?" And that's very real. That's culture shock. And I had that definitely.
I had a cultural shock with Poland. Sadly, it's like that, but for me, it's like that through all the time that I live in Poland. Six
Oh,
years of
Jesus.
cultural shock.
Oh, wow.
Because we think and feel differently, and because of condition of life for me was pretty tough. People, some most of people that I met, they speak English in whatever level, you know, bad or good, whatever. But they can, but what they will not speak. I was feeling alone, and you know, you have this, you feel the people have for a moment like interest in me, but then it goes, it fades. I felt all the time like I am a ghost.
Oh.
I'm no one, you know. When you move through the city, it's like people don't see to each other to the eyes, or they don't want to get contact with each other. And I was all the time, every day, like, why Poland is like that? Why the situation is like that? But then
Fighting
you,
it like a conflict.
yeah. I was thinking like, why in Colombia we are so friendly and you can speak with whatever person at any time, and you know, people visit you whatever moment they want. You know, the door, when I was a kid, the door of my home was always open, so people can enter and say hello and take things and eat.
And I guess if you are an introvert, you might not even realize that you are when you're in Colombia because people are
No, and
so
you're.
connected. And
Yeah, but
then
anyway, yeah. Even in Colombia, I was an introverted. You know, I was a lonely person, always feeling out
yeah,
of.
but I guess people make an effort with you, so it's a different feeling of introvertness. And then when you move to Europe, that feeling amplifies because people might not be like Colombia, where they actually come closer to you anyway, even if you're an introvert.
And then you discover that reading the history of Poland, they have plenty of problems with people that were inviting the country, the communism. We're not allowed to make groups. You cannot share personal things with people because you don't know who was infiltrated, or you know,
So there's
there is a
trust
plenty of,
issues.
exactly. There is a plenty of things, and then at the end I decide, okay, you know, stop to think like that. This is not your country. The country will not change because you are living there. You are the one that need to change and adapt to the country. And in that moment, I kind of a little bit more easier, but still been
difficult.
having
yeah.
I still having some issues with the mentality, with the government, with the majority of people that I encounter, and I never felt calm, never
felt welcome. And but so at the time you were freelancing, I guess, in Poland, you did
in Poland was jobs. most of the time freelancing. Harder, it was hard. Sometimes I make jobs that were not paid because I had the need of getting whatever income.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was a moment that during the first 8 months living in Poland, I didn't have a job, no freelancer work, no nothing. The income, the money that I saved from Colombia, I was just spending the money and it was going out. And then I lost my mother. She passed away. I didn't have money to back.
That.
I didn't have money to back to be with my brothers or with my family. And no money, no job, no future, and then living in a small town, and my wife have she found a not so good job in not so good conditions and far from home. And I did remember that I need to help her during the winter, my first winter. I need to help her to commute to her
mm-hmm.
job, but we don't have money to pay transport, so we need to walk a big distance in the snow and in the darkness and the coldness. And people around were not friendly with me. I need to check all the time in the streets who is there or who not, because I didn't feel safe.
Mm.
Because I crossed some kind of bad situations, and I had to protect myself anyway. It was really difficult times.
Mm. Difficult period.
Yeah, and then what I did was create funds and just to offer funds, the funds that I designed, to offer them through my funds to make a distribution and selling and have some income from that.
You picked the most difficult thing to do at the most difficult time.
yeah, because I didn't even have a deep knowledge in making funds.
Yeah, it's hard. It's very hard.
I had an official training in the software for creating funds. I had knowledge in funds because of whatever I was reading of this about design, and I was deep in
intuition,
in
of course.
Of course, everything comes from intuition. What you are doing, or my mentality is, everything that you, the experience that you gain, is just training your intuition to solve a problems or to give answers to specific questions. Anyway, so I was doing funds and distributing funds. Even with these funds, I have some kind of, I win some contests. My work was in Colombia, in Latin America, in 10 countries, appearing in some books, things like that. And I was doing stuff. So we saved some money with my wife, and then we moved to Warsaw, the capital city of Poland. And over there, I had to show off my work, create my website, dedicate a lot of time to polish my presses online and the social media and posting my work everywhere, because I had the need of, in Poland, I was no one, I didn't have contacts, no one knew that I was there, and no one asked me even if how I am, how I feel, if everything is okay. So I was by my own, and we moved to Warsaw with money. We saved money only for 2 months, paying a small apartment for 2 months. We didn't have more money than that.
So it was a real Hail Mary, just to try to do it and see what happens.
It was at the condition, I didn't have anything. And in the capital city, probably are more chances than in a small town.
Mm-hmm.
So my wife found a job, again, not so good for her, but was something. On my side, I just started to contact people, just sending information and emails, you know, trying to reach as much people as I can to find a job and stability. And because of that, not because of that, but I'm some people in. We went with my wife to some international meetings with expats and things like that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to move my CV and my contacts and so on. So little by little, there appear some people that gave me small jobs.
Oh, cool.
I was freelancing like that. And then through this process, even I have, you know, I committed to everything that comes to my plate, every job, mm-hmm. everything I was doing, like, whatever it is, I need to work. So I commit the mistake of trusting in people. And I did plenty of jobs that were not well paid, and jobs that, you know, people just run out.
They don't send you money or anything.
I was unpaid jobs, but just
you kept
like
you busy at least.
Yeah, it was kind of a hope and a going on process. But on the other hand, I decide to, you know, even if I am not paid for these jobs, they are
portfolio.
I build my portfolio with all those jobs. And at some point, an art director of MTV Europe saw my portfolio and my work, and he contacted me, and he wanted me to help him with some work for MTV Europe, which
actually
was a crazy.
The first job I did ever, professional job, was in Egypt, and it was also unpaid for the same way. I designed a website for some people. And they never paid me for it. So I worked for them for a month, and I commuted, and I paid for my commute as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that month, they didn't give me a contract. They said, "Duh, we're not going to offer you a contract. This was a trial period." And a couple of weeks later, the website was online. So they just took it, put it online. The work that I did was, so I had a similar situation. And
yeah,
so
yeah.
MTV, the MTV art director called you.
Yeah, he contacted me, and I did some job for him with another company that make animations, and was a producer, company from producers in Poland.
Mm-hmm.
They were, the owner was is an English guy. And we worked together with this project MTV, and I did some jobs for the my wife with her photography and her art, and me with graphic design. We were hired from the Baltic Opera of Poland, the Opera Bałtycka, to make a job for them for. A project of a poster and a presentation and things like that, and we did together this job. And after that, let's say that we started to have a little bit more of stability.
That's great.
Still tough. There were literally moments where we have to think per weeks. You know, our future was only a week, in the meaning that we need to account how much money we can use per day, what kind of things we can eat. It was all constraining ourselves to survive, and were moments, difficult moments like that. But anyway, we did these jobs, and then after.
How did that get you into games? Because so you were in Poland in Warsaw,
because of the need of having a job and stability. I sent a lot of CVs to many places. One day I saw online a post from CD Projekt that they were looking for a graphic designer, not for the video games, but from the other business side of the company that they translate books and movies, and they make another kind of projects. So I sent my CVs, my CV over there, looking for, you know, like I did these jobs for another companies. I know how to make fonts if you need, you know, a Polish characters in your alphabet or whatever.
Oh,
you know,
cool.
I was trying to. I sent information about my background and what I did, and I designed my CV. You know, with the graphics, you know, like a eye-catching design. An art producer and the art director of Witcher 3, they saw my website, my CV and my website, and they invite me to have an interview for the role of a UI artist. They were looking already with a lot of for 4 months with a lot of candidates and interviews and so on. And yeah, they invite me to have interview with them. And I didn't knew what CD Projekt was. I didn't knew that they were doing video games. I didn't knew that they were producing Witcher 3. I knew about the Witcher because of the writer.
Yes.
And because of they have a Polish TV series.
Yes, so I've seen clips of that.
Yeah, I knew that. I knew the Witcher because of that, but not the Witcher from the video games, you know. It was new for me. I was not aware about the in the interviews, even when they asked me about the Witcher, I just mentioned, you know, I'm all the time honest with people because I know I cannot sell myself. I don't want to portray.
It's like the opposite of what I would have done. I would have gone online and researched everything I knew there is to know about the Witcher and read all the books and then just faked my way through it.
Yeah, but when I went to them with the interviews, I will take all my sketchbooks.
Yeah.
Plenty of books,
cool.
And I will show them fonts that I did, and I will show them all the things that I was doing, and you know, like,
man, like they struck gold. They found your work.
So yeah, I didn't sell myself. Like, I don't know, in the interviews in general, I don't want that. For me, it's harder to talk about me. I just want that my work speak about who I am as a designer. But was a nice interview, you know. Was a really, the art director Bartek Gabeu, is an amazing guy. He's really incredible. We became kind of friends during my time at CD Projekt. There's a plenty of nice people that I met there.
Oh, great! Did you also work on Cyberpunk a bit there when you were there?
A little bit, yeah, a little bit. So I work. They hire me for they make it the 3 months. They give me a contract for initial 3 months for making the prototypes or whatever I need to do for them to show that I can do for a video game. So after these 3 months, they basically hire me as a junior. I work it during the whole.
A junior with almost 10 years experience.
at some point, they gave me they gave me a regular title.
That's great.
After some time, because of whatever I was doing for them, and I guess I'm thanked. I'm really thanked with CD Projekt Red for what they offered me. Like, no other company gave me a regular job, a stable job. You know, not other company in Poland did that. But in my personal point of view, I guess that things could be better. I have some personal disagreements with things that happen over there and with some kind of cultural things or political things or whatever every company is a different thing, a different mentality, different processes, different
But it
everything.
launched your career kind of into games, right? So that's great.
These are really nice things because because of that, it gave you something, you know. People, it's a lucky thing to land in this kind of project that have this scope of acceptance between people. So I did, I really thank it with them, and it launched my career. So then I decided to finish this contract with them after some time, 2 years and a half probably.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved to Hamburg to work with another video game company. They have in mind creating a AAA project. They were basically a mobile company, but they have the idea of creating a studio.
Oh, cool. So that was their first try at the AAA project.
Yeah, people, experienced people in even people from Blizzard or from different companies and junior people, new people. It was a really nice team, nice project, nice everything. I was so happy. Hamburg is a beautiful city. And I felt finally that moving out of Poland, my life have finally started to bloom.
Started.
Right?
Oh, great.
Like, you know, professionally, personally, lifestyle, being with different people from different backgrounds, multicultural life and things was really nice.
And also, did you feel more accepted, I guess, in Germany as opposed to Poland? Yeah, you felt more
from work in the common day life and with everything. It was really, really nice life. And I felt like at some point I felt like, you know, that's what I need to still going on. It was like a point of nice feeling. Like
and it was really, kind of really, I guess the moment in your career when you were gaining confidence and you had launched it with CD Projekt Red and then here gaining confidence in your work.
Yeah. It was a really nice project. I have everything as from the even when we have initially a team, UI team, I partnered with another girl.
Mm-hmm.
She left the company and I took everything from myself. So I built everything in the UI, all the art, logo for the project, and you know, a lot of plenty of things in internally, font design for the game, of things that I took in myself. So I feel really proud of this project, and actually this is the project that helped me out to get the job at Blizzard. Because of this job with Good Games, I was contacted by John Mueller, the art director in Diablo 4.
That's a full circle. So one of the first games you liked, Diablo, and then now you get contacted for Diablo 4, which is pretty. Must have been really amazing.
Yeah, when I received the first email from John Mueller, I was like, wait, an art director from Diablo, from Blizzard, that won't talk to me. He was like crazy. It is really crazy. You know, you realize that you are doing something. I cannot say good or whatever, but you are doing something. You are moving things. You are giving everything that you are doing is someone is there seeing your work. Anyway,
that's how I saw your work for the first time. I saw with the announce of Diablo and the presentation. That's when I was like, whoa, this is really well made, and that's how you fell on my radar, which is funny because.
Yeah, I guess it's a really cool project too, and there's a plenty of things that I can not only on the UI, but you know, I can touch on other things and
I saw like the glyphs that you made, and like it's like a demonic language glyphs.
Yeah.
So cool.
I do believe that the art directors or people can they portray things, and they see the skills of this guy can produce these things for these things, and my feeling is that my career, where I have more impact or where I am more, the things that benefit more my career are the points where someone believe in me and portrayed myself in something different than my initial development. So I started, you know, someone believed that I can do things for graphic design when I was doing illustration. Then someone believed that I can do website when I was print. Then someone in TV gave me the chance to do something when I was doing things for another, you know, like someone is believing in me in areas that I was not expecting. And and all these changes are giving me better jobs and better situations and more comfort for my private life.
But so did you start working for Blizzard from Germany then? So you were
from Germany.
I was
living in Hamburg.
Mm-hmm.
They gave me a contract for 5 months because my wife was finishing the university in Warsaw. So we were together living in Hamburg, but she was finishing the university in Warsaw. So while she finished things, while all the things of, you know, visas and all the processes of moving to the
especially
States
to America, it takes time usually, right?
It's a tough thing, and I'm really thankful that Blizzard gave me so much confidence to move to the States and wait for me and do things just to have me there.
Mm-hmm.
They did a plenty of things. I'm really, really incredible. With them, they are doing things that my team and my in general, you know, it's like they are giving much more than I never have. They are really amazing. Actually, you know, I moved to the States. I was working in Hamburg with them 5 months. Then I moved to the States. I worked in Irvine. With the team in the company for quite some time. And then with my wife, we didn't felt the States is the place to for us to live. We felt more, you know, the experience of living in Europe for us was, I don't know, everything is smaller and small things, you know, the seasons, the snow.
Little things.
Seeing people, seeing children in the streets, playing alone, public transport. I don't know. There's plenty of things that we felt like, you know, we miss Europe a lot. And then...
So you became the first employee to work remote for Blizzard, right?
With support of Blizzard, yeah.
That's so cool.
Probably the first employee.
Now probably everybody's remote.
Exactly. Everyone is from home. You know, this community is changing the rules for everyone and from for everything.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm lucky to have the support from them, and I move with my wife. We get pregnant in the States. Thinking about that, about where we wanted that our son grow up. We think, you know, Europe is a nice place to be and to raise a child, and we took the chance to coming back to Europe. Now I'm living here in Munich for around 2 years, close to 2 years.
This is such an incredible story, and it's really nice to hear like how you kind of grew up in Colombia and how you like moved to Europe and stumbled into the games industry, and now you're literally working on one of the coolest IPs on the planet, and that's so cool. But yeah, it's a it's inspiring to me, and I saw your work, like I said in the presentation of Diablo 4, and I looked you up, and I saw your portfolio, I saw all the work you've done, and it's amazing, and I'm super lucky to have talked to you now, and it's so cool.
I guess it's a story between many stories. You know, many people have different kind of background, different situations.
Yeah.
I guess that, you know, sometimes I see myself if I imagine myself being a 10-year-old guy, and someone is coming to me and saying, you know, you will travel to Europe, you will be traveling, you will be doing this, you will work for these companies, you will have exhibitions, you will meet artists that you admire a lot. You will, you know, I will say, you know, it's impossible because I cannot afford to live like that.
That's a really good segue into, I can ask you one more question before I let you go.
Yeah.
Is if you give, like, if you would meet a kid now, a 10-year-old kid, or somebody that wants to become a UI professional in games, like, what's the one tip that you would give them, like the one piece of advice from all of your experience?
You know, I guess that you need to, it's whatever I'm saying to my wife, to my friends, to students, where I have the chance to talk to anyone. Just do whatever you feel that you need to do, because even if you are not famous, or even if you are unhappy, I mean, if you have an unhappy life, but if you are doing whatever make you happy, you have a better life already. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to believe.
Yeah.
I'm not a positive. I'm really not a positive.
You sound pretty positive to me.
No. The thing is, I have a path in life, but it doesn't mean that if someone repeat the same steps, we'll have the same outcome. I can control in my life. I control I control how I use my time, but I cannot control the situations out of me. I cannot control that Blizzard exists, that Diablo exists, that, you know, the video game industries allow graphic designers to have a job. You know, I cannot control these things, but I can control learning things, dedicated time to read, being close to my passions. And this is what I will recommend to people, you know, do the things that you would like to do, that you enjoy to do, but with passion. You know, if you like chemistry or whatever, read about things and be immersed in that thing.
Thanks. And I really can't wait to try Diablo 4 and to see what all the great, amazing things that are going to be shown in that game.